Before I left Hong Kong, just a short time before I left Hong Kong to come to Australia.
在詹姆斯来到澳洲之前呢，他是从香港来到澳洲的。
And I received a tape sent in an envelope.
他收到了一个信封，信封里面呢有一个录音带。
And for some time I didn't have time to listen to it.
有很长一段时间呢，他没有机会来听到这个录音带里面是什么。
But one day I determined to take a listen to this tape.
但是有一天呢，他有机会了呢，他把这个录音带拿出来听一下。
Actually, I don't know who sent the tape. Even now, I don't know who sent the tape.
直到今天呢，他都不知道是什么人把这一个录音带寄给他的。
But the person sent the tape because that person knew that I have also a burden to reach the Muslim people.
因为呢，寄这个录音带的人呢，知道在詹牧师的心底里面呢，有一个很深的愿望，是要向这些穆斯林的人呢传福音。
And what was in this tape was a testimony of somebody who went with his whole family to a Muslim country to bring the gospel.
那这个录音带里面是什么东西呢？是一个人的见证，他和他的全家移民到了一个穆斯林聚居的地方，向他们去传福音。
Now it's very difficult to preach the gospel to Muslims.
向穆斯林、向回教徒传福音是非常困难的。
There has to be power from God.
要有神那里来的力量，才能够打破他们的这个障碍。
So when he went to this country and the people heard that he was a Christian coming to preach to the Muslims, nobody wanted to talk to him.
当他们移民到这个国家的时候呢，旁边的人知道他们是基督徒来传福音的，就没有人来听他们的。
But he had such a love for these people, he wanted to bring the gospel to them.
但是他对他们是充满了慈爱，他有这个愿望要向他们来传福音。
So one day he stood in the middle of the town on the bridge.
他有一天呢，站在这个镇上的中间，站在一个桥上面。
And he said, if you don't want to listen to me, then I'm going to jump into this river.
他说，你们如果要不听我所讲的话，我就从这个桥上跳下去，掉到河里面去。
He wanted to show them how desperate and how determined he wanted to preach the gospel to them.
他借着这个行动呢，来向这些穆斯林表现呢，他是多么迫切的希望呢，把福音传给他们。
Well, this strange behavior, of course, attracted the attention of the crowd. So they came around to see what is with this crazy fellow.
那么他们呢，就很多人就觉得这个行为是非常的奇怪，就有很多人呢围在旁边，想要来听听这个有毛病的人到底是想要讲些什么东西。
So indeed he took the opportunity as the crowds gathered around, right in the heart of the city, and began to preach to them about Jesus.
那么就在这个城市的中间，就在这个市中心的地方，就有很多的人聚集在他的周围呢，来听他讲主耶稣的事情。
And having preached his message, he fulfilled his promise and jumped into the river.
那么他传完了福音以后呢，他就跳到河里面去了。
So that was he showed that he wasn't just an empty threat. He was.
他告诉他们，他告诉他们说呢，他原来说的话呢，并不是来骗他们，要吓唬他们的。
I so much want to bring you the gospel that jumping down into that river, very dirty river, is fine with me.
他就想要告诉这些周围的人呢，说对他们来说，他要把福音传给他们更重要。跳到那个很脏的河里面呢，对他来说呢，是代表不息的。
And the result was that the people began to take notice of this person, and were more and more willing to listen.
那么因为这个人的这个言行举止呢，就越来越多的人呢对他感兴趣。
And one day the head of the local mosque, who was called an imam, challenged him to a kind of debate, Muslim against Christian in the mosque.
那么后来呢，这个清真寺里面呢管制的这个人呢，就来找他，说要跟他来辩论。
Since people were beginning to get interested in him, maybe the imam thought it better to crush him in front of the people of the mosque and show that Christianity is no match for Islam.
因为越来越多人呢对基督教好像感兴趣了，这个清真寺里面这个人呢就感到紧张了，说最好要把这个人压制下去，这样子的话他会让他周围的人也看到呢，基督教和伊斯兰教比起来呢是没办法比的。
So a large crowd of people gathered in the mosque.
那么就很多很多人呢聚集在这个清真寺的里面。
And so the debate went on.
那么这两个人呢就开始了辩论。
But then suddenly, in the midst of all this theoretical talk, this talking of different religions.
那么他们一开始呢都是在谈理论上的东西，讲两个宗教有什么不同。
There came a man carrying a little child in his arms.
那么在这其中呢就有一个人进来，在他的手上呢抱了一个小小的一个孩子。
This child was probably no more than 3-4 years old.
这小孩子呢，可能也只有三四岁左右。
But is born crippled. The child, this little girl, cannot walk.
但是这个小姑娘呢，从来没有走过路，因为她呢，出生的时候呢，就是残废。
And he came to this preacher.
他来到这个基督徒的这个宣教士的面前。
And said, "Can your Jesus heal my little girl?"
他说：“你所讲的耶稣能不能够来医治我的女儿？”
Wow, that was a challenge he wasn't prepared for.
这是一个很大的挑战，他完全没有做到这样的一个准备。
In front of all this crowded mosque Muslim people, the challenge was, let's not talk religion.
那么在这么大一群的这个回教徒的面前，在清真寺里面，面对这个传教士的挑战是，你不要讲理论上的东西。
Can your Jesus heal my little girl? That's the important question for me, not all this theory going on there.
那么最重要的呢，不是讲这些宗教上的事情，而是一个挑战，你所传的耶稣有没有能力来医治这个小孩子。
Now this preacher never thought of himself as having any gifts of healing.
那么这个传教士呢，他自己根本就没有想到是他自己会有这种能力来医治别人的。
In the face of this challenge, he could only cry out, Lord Jesus, what am I going to do?
因为在这个情况下面呢，他只能够向神来呼求说，主啊，在这个情况下面我该怎样做呢？
Even if he could win the debate, he would have lost the day.
就算他跟这个清真寺的这个管事的人两个人辩论，就算他赢的话，他如果不能够医治这个孩子的话，他也今天就等于是输掉了。
He could only cry out, and then he said,All right, I'll pray for this little girl.
他就对这个父亲说呢，我会为你的孩子来做一个祷告。
So in front of all these people, he prayed for this crippled girl.
就站在所有人的面前，他就为这个小姑娘来祷告。
After having prayed, nothing seemed to happen.
那么他祷告了以后呢，哎，好像看上去没有什么事情发生。
And this, the father of this girl very graciously said, thank you, anyway, thank you. Maybe...This is too difficult for Jesus to do.
但是这个小孩子的父亲呢，也很客气，他就是对他说：“哎呀，多谢你啊，麻烦你了。也许呢，对耶稣来说，这个事情太难做了，做不到。”
Jesus is very great, but maybe this is too much. I ask too much.
耶稣也许是个很伟大的人，但是呢，今天的要求呢，耶稣是做不到的。
Because in the Quran, it does speak of Jesus as healing the sick and raising the dead. You see.
因为在这个《可兰经》里面有记载，耶稣以前能够医治人。
It never says that Muhammad ever did anything. He never performed a miracle.
但是从来没有说过这个他们里面提到的这个穆罕默德有这样子的能力。
But I've read the Quran myself, so I know that there it says Jesus did mighty works, including raising the dead.
那么张牧师呢可以向你保证，他因为他自己读过这个《可兰经》，全部都读过，他可以告诉你，这个《可兰经》里面呢有讲到耶稣呢有。医治人叫死人活过来的能力。
That was probably the reason why this man brought this little girl. And since this is a preacher of Jesus, well, maybe Jesus will work through him.
也许这位带小孩子来的这个父亲呢，他可能有看过《可兰经》，有读到这一段，他想说，这个人来讲耶稣，也许耶稣呢会看在他的份上呢，来医治他的女儿。
And so seeing that nothing appeared to happen, he just graciously thanked the preacher and walked away. And then having walked some distance, he stopped.
那么这个父亲呢就很客气的谢一谢这个这一位传教士，他就走了。
Having walked the distance, he stopped and turned around.
但是他没有走几步呢，他就不得不回头来看一下。
And he said to the preacher, "Could you bless my family?"
他说，你可以不可以给我们全家一个祝福呢？
It was remarkable. He didn't see the child healed, but he asked for blessing for the whole family.
虽然他没有看到他的孩子这个腿得到医治，但是他请这个宣教士呢来祝福他的全家。
So of course the preacher said, yes, certainly I'm pray for your whole family. So
那么这个宣教士对他说，当然可以，我会为你们祷告，祝福你们全家。
So once again, the man very graciously thanked the preacher for praying for his family, turned around and started walking away.
那么这个父亲呢，就很客气的又谢了一谢这个传教士，然后又接着走。
But in his heart, he was thinking, all the people sitting here will say, this was too difficult for Jesus to heal the child.
但是可以想象的话，他心里面怎么样想？可以想象周围的那么多人，他们可能都想说，今天这个问题，这个挑战太厉害了，耶稣是做不到的。
And as he walked away, the child was over his shoulder, and he saw the big eyes of this little girl still looking at him.
那么在他一边走的一边的时候呢，他看到这个小孩子的眼睛呢，还在盯着他看。
And then he noticed.That the child was pushing the father away as he was walking away.
但是当这个父亲在一边走的时候，他感觉到他的女儿怎么会用手在一直在推他
，and was kept on pushing him as he was walking towards the door, pushing him away.
他越靠近门的时候呢，他的女儿越是推他。
So finally, the father being pushed like that, put the child down.
那么他女儿老是推，他父亲没有办法，就把他放在地上了。
And the child started to walk.
那么这个孩子呢，就站在地上自己开始走路了。
The father looked aghast.
那么这个父亲呢，简直是目瞪口呆。
This child cannot even stand, never mind walk.
这个孩子从前
standing and walking.
这个孩子从前以前都没有站起来过，现在居然可以走路。
The scene was almost finished. He was almost out of the door. It looked like the battle was lost.
那么他已经快走到那个门口了。原来这个像耶稣发出的挑战，好像耶稣都做不到。
And then the whole mosque gasped in astonishment and began to say, Jesus is real.
那么因为这件事情呢，整个清真寺里面的人，所有的人都在惊叹，说哇，原来耶稣是真的。
This became the total turning point of that ministry in that Muslim country in East Africa.
那么这个是发生在非洲中部的一个穆斯林的一个国家，也就是因为这样的一个事情呢，那个像这个穆斯林传福音的这个工作呢，就在那里展开了。
As a matter of fact, even the Imam himself finally came to the Lord.
那么最后呢，连清真寺这个管事的来跟他辩论的这个人呢，也来相信耶稣了。
And they warned him that if he started preaching the gospel, that they will kill him. Certainly the family will kill him.
但是呢，其他的这些地方人呢，警告他说，你们继续再传耶稣的话，我们就会把你杀掉。
The imam said, well, go ahead.
那么这个清真寺的管事的这个人呢，他现在信了耶稣，他说，没关系啊，你来杀我就杀我吧。
This imam was trained in Afghanistan.
那么这一个清真寺的管事的这个人呢，他是在阿富汗接受训练的。
And he said to the preacher, I want to go back to Afghanistan to my teachers and tell them about Jesus.
他说我现在呢想要回到阿富汗去找原来训练我的那一些伊斯兰教的老师，要告诉他们耶稣的事情。
And one day when he went to look for the imam was gone.
那么这个宣教师呢，有一天呢去找这个清真寺的管事的时候呢，哎，找不到了，他已经走了。
And the family told him we've deported him. We decided not to kill him. We deported him.
那他们的这个管事的这个亲人呢，后来告诉这个宣教士说呢，说我们最后想一想呢，还是不要杀他，但是呢，把他驱逐出去。
And he asked, where did you deport him to?
他说你们把他赶到什么地方去了
？Afghanistan.
他说我们把他赶到阿富汗去了。
The very place he wanted to go.
因为这个是其他地方他都不想去，这个地方他才想去。
Anyway, as a result of this.Thousands of people began to come to the Lord.
那么因为这一个宣教士的努力，就有成千的人来相信耶稣。
Now, I was reading recently a very similar account. Just a few days, I'm reading a biography of a woman preacher in China.
那么在几天前呢，张牧师也读到了另外一个人的这个见证，是在中国的一个女性的一个传道人。
No matter how busy, every day I try to find some time to read.
那么不管呢每一天有多么忙呢，牧师呢都是想抽一些时间呢来读这些方面的东西。
And one of the things I find very helpful is to read the biographies of faithful men and women of God.
那么他发现呢，来读这些忠心的侍奉上帝的仆人，他们的见证呢，对我们非常有这个提高。
Because it always challenges my life to match up to their standards.
因为他总是向我们来挑战，要让我们呢来向他们来学习。
And this woman worked all her life long, serving and preaching. And it struck me particularly, a matter of particular interest to me is that this woman was so greatly used by God, and yet I never heard of her name.
那么在这个见证里面呢，看到了这一位传道的这位姐妹呢，是被神这么样的重用，可是呢，很多人都没有听说过她的名字。
All her life she remained single everywhere she went, preaching the gospel, and with such power and such effect.That multitudes came to the Lord.
那么他这为了主呢，他这一生都没有成家，那么他就到处去来传扬这个福音。每他所到的地方呢，都有很多很多的人来相信耶稣。
And maybe she served in the Fujian area. She's from Fujian.
那么他所特别传道的地方呢，是在福建省
，which actually is the province where my father comes from.
那么张先生的祖先呢，也是从福建来的。
Although she did also go to other parts of the country.
那么这个姐妹呢，也有到过其他的省份。
And one time she worked with that great servant of the Lord, John Song.
那么这个姐妹呢，从前是有一段时间呢，是跟这个神所重用的仆人宋尚杰博士一起来传福音的。
In fact, she was his translator by preference. He preferred to have her whenever possible as a translator.
那么宋尚杰博士呢，以前是用这位姐妹呢来做他的翻译。
And as a result, she was able to witness God's power working through this remarkable servant of the Lord.
那么这一个姐妹呢，就在她做翻译的过程中间，见到了神怎么样重用宋尚杰这位神的仆人。
So when I read of this account, heard of this account on the tape about what happened in the mosque.
那么当牧师在这个录音带上听到了这个在非洲清真寺里所发生的事情。
Then when I read of this sister's testimony.She recorded a similar account.
那么这一位姐妹的这个见证呢，是跟这个在清真寺里所发生的事情呢非常相像的。
In fact, there were so many accounts of what the Lord did. I would be talking all afternoon just about the wonders that Jesus worked through His servants, but I was mentioning only one.
那么主借着这他的仆人所做的事情呢，是太多了。我们如果要讲的话，要讲一下午，但是呢，就讲一件事情。
But similarly, she mentioned that on one occasion, John Song, who actually never claimed to have a healing ministry.
那么这个在这个记载里面呢，说这位姐妹呢，有一天跟圣上杰博士呢去传福音。圣上杰博士呢，他从来没有说他自己能够医治人的。
His ministry was to preach the gospel, but he prayed for anyone who was in need.
他的主要的这个工作呢，他就认为是去传神的话，传讲神的话。但是呢，如果有病人来呢，他会为他们祷告。
And every time there would be hundreds of people after a meeting would come to him to pray for prayer about physical or spiritual matters.
那么每一次在聚会以后呢，都有几百的人来到这个宋博士的面前呢，要求他为他们祷告，为身上的病痛或者他们灵魂里面的困难呢来祷告。
And all kinds of amazing things were happening because Jesus is the living Lord.
那么借着这祷告呢，主耶稣呢就做了很多很多奇妙的事情。
And one of these things, as the sister records, after John Song had prayed for the people, in fact,For hundreds of people to be prayed for, he could only spend a moment for each person as they just passed by in front of him.
在这个姐妹的记载里面呢，说每一次呢，因为有很多很多的人来要求祷告，那么宋博士呢，跟每一个人呢，只能够有一点点的时间为他们祷告。
On one occasion, a young man was pushed in a wheelchair. This time, not walking, on a wheelchair in front of him.
那么有一次呢，一个不会走路的一个年轻人，那么坐在轮椅里面呢，被推到这个宋博士的前面来。
And John Song prayed for him as for all the others, just anointing him with a little oil and praying in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit.
那么宋博士呢，就为他们在头上涂了点油，借着这个三位一体真神的名呢，为他们来祷告。
And he was pushed further along.
那么他们这个轮椅呢，就被推到更前面的一点地方。
And the sister said to him, "Well, you have been prayed for. Now get out of that wheelchair."
那么这个姐妹呢，就对那个坐在轮椅里面那个年轻人说，哎，他都已经刚才为你祷告了，你为什么还不站起来走路呢？
Yeah, exactly. Why are you still sitting there?
你为什么还坐在轮椅里面？
Didn't you hear that he prayed for you?
他刚才没有为你祷告吗？你没听见吗？
18 years. He was born crippled. He's never walked in his life. He got no muscles on his legs to walk with.
这个男孩子呢，坐在轮椅里面坐了18年，因为他一生下来就是这样子。
But the sister, full of faith, said, "Stand up."
但是这个姐妹的信心就是这么大。她说她已经为你祷告了，你现在要站起来走路。
And he stood up.
那么这个年轻人呢，就站起来了。
He only stood up.
他不仅仅站起来，
he started to jump up and down on the platform,
而且还能够跳来跳去。
And the whole congregation were amazed.
那么整个会场里面的人呢，都惊讶得不得了。
He was jumping, walking, running. That's her description of it.
那么这他在这个台上面又跑又跳。
It has to be an act of creation. You see, you can't jump with no muscles in your legs, and if you don't use your muscles, you know, it atrophies. It's gone. And 18 years in that wheelchair.
因为这是神的完全的重新的创造，因为他生下来的时候腿上就没那么多肌肉，也没有那么多的能力来站起来，能够跳来跳去。
Now, why am I saying all this?
为什么我们今天呢说到这些事情呢？
What has God got to do with a heart for China?
这个跟新卫中华有什么关系呢？
Well, I have a heart for China for one reason.
因为牧师说呢，我们为新卫中华呢，只有一个原因
，because Jesus is real，
因为耶稣呢是真的，是活的。
I'm not interested in religion，
我们并不对宗教感什么兴趣。
Much of religion is man-made，
因为宗教呢都是人所创造的。
My faith is not in some religion， but in Him， in the living Lord。
我们的信仰呢不是建立在宗教上面，而是建立在这个又真又活的主身上。
Now if you do not know Him as the living Lord。
如果你不认识这个又真又活的主，
How would you have a heart for China?
你怎么可能有一个为中华的心呢？
You don't have a living Jesus, a living Lord to bring to China. So if you have a heart for China, it would be for personal reasons, maybe making money or something else.
如果你不认识这个又真又活的主的话，你不能够带给中华同胞的话，这个又真又活的主，你去也是没有用。
So when we speak of a heart for China, we are talking aboutThe deep concern and compassion for them, for this people who do not know Jesus.
当我们说到新卫中华的时候，是这些认识这位又真又活的主，他们心里面最真切的愿望，是也让同胞们也来认识这个主。
But there's another reason for this concern for China.
那么还有一个原因
，because time is short. Time is short.
因为呢，时间不够用。
Time is running out fast.
时间越来越不够用了。
I recently was on a plane and picked up a passport, a newspaper on the plane.
那么最近一段时间呢，牧师有一次坐在飞机上面的时候呢，就拿起一个报纸来看。
And a heading on that newspaper struck me.
那么这个报纸上的这个标题呢，就引起他的注意。
It said, "In the year 2002, that is last year, 1 million Chinese people died of smoking-related diseases.
说在2002年，也就是去年呢，有100万的同胞因为死于因为抽烟这样的一个事情。
For this 1 million people, not the time isn't short. It's already gone. It's over.
对这100万人来说，在过去的一年里面呢，不是说没有机会，他们的机会早就已经没有了。
There are 1 million people we are never going to reach.
那么是这100万呢，在过去的一年里面就失去了。
When we first bought the radio station that is now broadcasting into China every day for 4.5 hours.
那么在这个牧师呢，他们最开始建立一个这个福音的广播站，那么这个广播站呢，现在是向中国的每一天这个播送4.5小时的这个福音节目。
We received the station 2 days earlier than the contract date.
那么当他们在当年他们开始这个工作的时候呢，这个播音站呢是提前2天完工的。
And the co-worker said,there's still 2 days. Shall we wait 2 days before we start broadcasting?
那么这个同工说，哎，我们提前2天完工，还有2天，我们要不要等2天，然后再开始播音呢？
I said, wait 2 days. You know how many people die every day?
那牧师问他说，凭2天，你知不知道在中国每一天有多少同胞会死掉？
Tomorrow will be too late for some people. They will never have a chance to hear. Today is the only day they have.
对我们的一些同胞来说，明天也许可能就太迟了，就没有机会再听到这个福音。
If the Lord has given us 2 days early, praise the Lord, get on that mic and get the word out.
如果主祝福我们给我们提前2天完工的话，那我们就要抓紧时间，提前2天把福音呢传到中国去。
1 million I mentioned died of what? Of smoking related diseases.
那么去年一年里面就100万因为抽烟有关的病症呢死掉。
The newspaper went on to say that by 2015,2 million a year would be dying from smoking-related disease.
那么这个报纸说呢，到2015年呢，到2015年的时候呢，每一年中国有200万人要因为抽烟，还有跟这个方面有关的事情呢，要去死掉。
And now, what's the population of Sydney? Not too well read up.
那我们悉尼的人口有多少？我们悉尼有300万、400万的人口。
3-4 million. That means to say, let's say 4 million, one quarter of the whole population of China of Sydney.Will have died of smoking-related diseases in this year, 2003.
那么就是说，按照这个比例来说的话，那么今年全雪梨有1/4的人口就因为抽烟就要死掉。
You could take a plane and go up and look down in Sydney and say one quarter of this population will be dead by this year.
如果你坐这个飞机从天上往下看的话，那么你可以看到呢，在这到年头结尾结束的时候呢，有1/4的人消失了。
And how many will have died of all kinds of diseases in China by the end of this year?
那么如果到今年的年底，全中国的有多少人因病因各样的事情死掉呢？
20 million.
有2000万。
Try to get that. That's about nearly the whole population of Australia.
是比我们澳洲全国的人还要多100万。
20 million people will have been dead for all sorts of other reasons. Cancer, car accident, whatever, you name it.Some 20 million or more will be dead.
那每一年中国的因为疾病、因为车祸、因为其他的事情死掉的人呢，有2000万。
Can we then just say, okay, I can wait another few years. You know, I got other things to do. How many would have been dead by that time? And those who are born are too young for you to reach for many years to come.
那么对我们基督徒来说，我们能不能够坐在这个地方说啊，没关系了，再等几年了，等几年我有时间了，我再去传，再等几年，这几年里面又要死掉多少人？
There is an unspeakable feeling in my heart for this reason.
那牧师说呢，在他心里面呢，当他想到这些事情呢，有一种说不出来的感觉。
And I talk to Christians, don't you be concerned?
当他把这些事情呢，向中国传福音的事情呢，向基督徒说的时候呢，很多基督徒呢，好像无动于衷。
I still got this first to do and that first to do and everything first to do. And by the night they finished all the first things they need to do.Well, too many million will have passed, and maybe by then they wouldn't go anywhere. I mean, the person who is still waiting will never go anywhere.
我们很多信主的同胞呢，他想起来向中国传福音这件事情呢，他们有这样的事情要先去做，那样的事情要先去做。等他们把这些全部的事情都做完了，等到他们有空的时候呢，不知道要有几千万、上亿的同胞呢，没有听到福音就死掉了。
I think to myself, it's impossible. Nobody seems to care. Am I the only crazy person around here?
那么牧师说呢，是不是我有毛病啊？那么多人都不管，我是不是疯了？就我一个人想要为中国去传福音。
Everybody has something more important to do.
因为每一个人似乎呢，都有比向中国传福音更重要的事情要去做的。
I'm sorry, I can't understand.
牧师说呢，这个事情这样的情况呢，实在是太难令人理解了。
Every day I'm thinking, Lord, how do we reach more people? How do we do it? Please tell me.
那么每一天呢，牧师说他都在想说，主啊，我们怎么样才能够有更多的办法，能够接触到更多的人，向他们讲福音。
So now we're developing a film project so that by movie we can reach more people with VCDs to reach people because VCDs cost so little, we can just distribute them by whatever means under the sun.We have to reach them.
我们现在呢又开始用电影，因为放响电影可以接触到很多人。现在 VCD 很便宜，我们又用这个用 VCD 来传播福音这样的方式。不管用什么样的方法，如果能够尽快的让更多的人都听到福音的话，这是应该去做的。
I'm concerned to produce a movie about Jesus in Chinese with Jesus as a Chinese person.
那么主牧师说呢，他想要拍一个这个啊。关于耶稣的这样的一个电影，然后里面呢演耶稣这个人呢是个中国的演员来演。
So that people can realize that Jesus is not east, west, north, south. He is for everyone, including and especially now for us, the Chinese.
那么让同胞明白呢，耶稣不是洋人的宗教，信耶稣呢是每一个中国人都能够信的。
Then we can put that on VCDs. We can distribute it all over China.All over the world.
我们把这个装在 VCD 上面，然后派给我们全部的同胞，派给全世界到处的华人。
Are we not reaching a lot of people over the radio? Yes, we are reaching almost the whole of China by radio.
那我们用广播能不能够接触到很多的人？是啊，我们用广播可以接触到很多很多的人。
But you can only reach those who turn on their radios.
但是那只能够接触到那些呢，开着收音机来听你的广播的人。
So that's still a small proportion.
还是一个很小的一个部分。
We need not just air power as over the air. We need ground troops to move in.
我们不仅仅需要从天空中用这个无线电的这个声音向中国传去福音的，更需要的有在地面上的地面部队进到中国去，就在地面上面向人来传福音。
Now we have some maybe 200 full-time workers.
那么啊。牧师说呢，他们这一个系统里面呢，在中国呢有200个全职为向中国人传福音的这样的弟兄姐妹。
These are not all in China.
不是全部都在中国，在全世界各地。
Some proportion of them are in China.
有一部分呢是在中国。
But what is 200 full-time workers for a country of that size? It's scarcely a drop in a bucket.
但是对中国这么大的一个。国家这么多的人口，就算有200个，又有多大的作用呢？只不过是海洋里面的一点水罢了。
所以我心里面焦急 ，very much 焦急 in English anyway.
Anxious.
Oh yeah, maybe anxious.
所以说牧师说呢，他的心急如火啊。
嗯，说得好，真是。Now think of this. If somebody here has a heart attack or has a car accident, exactly what happens?
那么想想看，如果我们中间的话，如果有一个人突然发心脏病的话，或者突然遇到车祸、
somebody rings an emergency, an ambulance comes, and everybody rushes there, and there is so much action. And then you have all these screaming sirens, and they rush him off to the hospital, and a whole team of doctors are waiting there to revive or do whatever is necessary for this person.
那么如果遇到这样的情况的话，我们这里肯定就会慌作一团，有的人赶快打电话去叫救护车来，然后就会听到救护车的喇叭响，然后赶快把这个人送到医院去，就会有一大群的医生和护士呢来抢救他，想要把他救活过来。
All this, can I call it fuss? Sorry, to be for one older person, maybe like myself.Who's going to be passing on before too long anyway, but all this emergency to keep him alive for a couple of more days, more hours, who knows, or even a few months.
那么你能够说这样的这么忙乱，这么多的力量花在这样一个人身上是瞎忙一场吗？也许你可能这一场的功夫只能够给他多活几天，多活几年，你能够说这是没有用的吗？
All this activity, this dedication, which is to be admired,But all of this, not to mention the expenses involved, sometimes they have to fly the patient by helicopter to another place if this hospital cannot deal with it. All that expense involved just to keep somebody like me alive for another year or two, maybe, even if that much.
牧师说想一想看，如果是像他这样子七十几岁的老人家，如果是发生这样的事情的话，花这么多的这个金钱，这么多的力量，就是抢救一个人，也许呢，多活两年。
其实还没到七十岁，
还没有到七十岁。什么人跟我讲的？
差不多
，sorry。
六十多岁，
没有问题。
Is the physical life so important that no energy and no expense must be spared to keep us alive.
为了抢救一个人的生命，我们是不惜代价的。
And yet, out there are a billion people. We're not talking about losing physical life alone. Be no eternal life for them. A billion people. That is 1,000,000,000. If you know how to, what a billion is.
那么如果是为了抢救一个肉体的生命，我们都花这么大的代价。在中国的土地上面有13亿人，他们不仅仅肉体的生命有一天要灭亡，如果听不到福音的话，他们的灵魂也要灭亡。
It's no great concern, is there?
那么没有比这个更值得我们去思考，更值得我们去努力的了。
Do we really believe that Jesus is real?
我们真的相信主耶稣是真的吗？
Do we really believe the time is short for every one of us, even if we manage to live to 70?
就算神给我们70年的时间的话，你的时间够用吗？
You know, from the vantage point of 70, it's really amazing when you look back and you find that 50 years disappeared. It's just one blink and 50 years have disappeared.
他说如果你到了70岁的话，你回头一看的话，你前面的50年也不过是一眨眼就过去了。
Time is precious.
因为时间呢，
for ourselves, it is precious.
对我们自己来说是很宝贵的。
But what about others?
那么对其他人呢？
Now as for time, let me dwell very briefly on another aspect.
那么现在我们讲到时间上面呢，牧师在讲另外一个方面的问题。
I don't know if any of you have heard of the Bible code.
Oh, 你说有没有人听到这样的一个事情，叫做圣经密码？
对。Now it is said that in the Bible there is a hidden code.
那么有些人说呢，在圣经里面呢，有一个隐藏的密码。
Which records every significant event that has happened or is happening or will happen in this world.
说我们这个世界上这个已经发生过的还有将要发生的这个重大的事情呢，都在这个密码里面。
The interesting thing is that this code was discovered not by Christians.
那么很有趣的呢，这个他们这个说找到这个密码的这些人呢，并不是基督徒。
But by Jewish mathematicians.
是犹太人的数学家找到的。
In fact, mathematicians and computer experts.
是用这个数学家还有这个搞电脑的这些专家呢发明的。
And they said that actually this code could not be discovered until the use of computers.
说呢，这个你找不到这个里面的密码，除非你用电脑的话。
Therefore, this code could only be discovered in this present time when advanced computers become very common.
说只能够在这个现在这个时代，当有很多很多先进的电脑的时候呢，才能够找到。
These computers process the whole Bible, especially the Old Testament.
那么这些电脑呢，来把这个圣经里面，尤其是旧约里面的很多信息呢进行处理。
And on the basis of this discovery, a certain New York Times reporter who was also himself a Jew, not a Christian.
那么根据这些里面所找到的东西呢，《纽约时报》里面的一个犹太人的一个记者呢，写了一些东西。
He warned the then Prime Minister of Israel, that according to the Bible code, he would be assassinated at a particular time.
他说根据这个里面的这个密码呢，他警告这个以色列当时的这个总理说呢，他会被人暗杀的。
Because in the Bible code, he saw the name of this Prime Minister.
他说在这个密码里面，他找到了这个以色列的总理的名字。
Crossed by another word, assassination.
找到了，在他旁边呢，说是暗杀。
So he urgently wrote to the Prime Minister.Rabin and said, "You are going to be assassinated."
他就很急切的向这个以色列的总理拉宾呢写去了，说你将要在什么什么时候被谋杀掉。
Rabin didn't believe it.
但是这个拉宾总理呢没有相信他这个。
What Bible code? Come on.
他说哎呀，这些是什么东西啊
？I never heard of it.
他从来没有听说过。
And anyway, I got to do what I got to do.
他说我该做的我就要去做了。
The rest is history.
那么剩下来的呢，我们大家都知道，拉宾呢是被谋杀的。
As you know, that he was killed by a Jewish assassin who came up and shot him from behind.
是有一个犹太人呢，从后面上来开枪呢，把他打死了。
And this Jewish assassin killed him because he felt Rabin was too gentle, too cooperative, and willing to talk to the Palestinians.
那么这个犹太人杀他的犹太人呢，说他对这个巴勒斯坦人呢太客气了。
And now you see the change. Now there's the hardline people in power.
那我们现在看见了，因为这个他的死呢，在以色列呢，现在有很强硬的人来对付这个巴勒斯坦人。
Anyway, the person who wrote this Bible code, and I did read that book as well.
那么写这本书的，写这个圣经密码这本书的这个人呢
he's a few months ago written another book.
他几个月前呢又写了另外一本书。
And that happened because of the 9/11 event.
他写这本书呢是为什么呢？因为他因为这个911的这个事情。
Because he happens to live in Manhattan, where the whole thing happened.
那么当时呢，这个人呢是住在这个纽约的曼哈顿区。
He heard a loud explosion one morning.
他听到了一个啊，有天早上听到了一个很巨大的这个爆炸的声音。
He rushed out to take a look and saw the tower on fire.
那么他冲出去看的时候呢，看见这个啊世贸大厦的这个两座楼呢在着火了。
At first he saw just the one. He heard the explosion was the first tower hit.
那么看首先呢，先看到是一个塔在着火。
When he rushed out to take another look.The second one was hit, and he saw the plane actually fly into the tower.
他出去再看一下的时候呢，看见第二架飞机呢飞到第二个塔里面去。
He rushed back to his computer and searched in the Bible code.
那么他跑到他的电脑里面呢去找。
There it was in the Bible code.
他说找到了这个，在这个电脑里面呢啊，九月十一号这一天。
The problem is, of course, it was not something he could know in advance, and therefore he could not search for it in advance.But when he looked for twin towers, there it was in the Bible code.
他说呢，在这个东西呢，是在他以前呢没有找到的。那一天呢，他看见了这个啊，这个双塔的这个事情在那个。
And it also has the word for planes, the planes going into the towers.
跟这两个这个世贸大厦的两个塔连在一起的字呢，是什么？是讲的飞机。
All this is in his book called Bible Code 2.
那么这个呢，是在这个圣经密码第二这本书里面的。
But from that, he went on to say.We are very close to the end of this particular age we are living in now.
那么他说呢，说根据他的这个预测呢，我们现在这个世界呢，这个末日呢，快要来了。
And he gives the date in Jewish years, in Jewish time.
他给了这个世界末日的哪一年？他说这个用犹太人的这个算法是哪一年
？And it comes out to 2006.
他说呢是2006年。
According to him, that is the big, the final day.According to his understanding of the Bible code.
那么根据这个人的预测呢，他说呢，2006年呢，可能就是世界的末日。
2006, we are 2003, we got 3 years ago.
他说呢，如果是真的是2006年的话，我们已经一半已经过去，还剩下一半了。
So shall we say, come on, you know, like Prime Minister Rabin, all this is pure, mathematics.
那么我们是不是也可以像拉宾总理这样说呢？说还这些东西只不过是这些人瞎猜罢了。
Well, I have pondered this question from a completely different angle. And in fact, I had pondered it from a different angle before I read Bible Code 2.
那么牧师说呢，在他读到这个圣经密码这两本书之前呢，他也想到过这个世界末日的这个事情，但是从另外一个角度来想的。
We are not speculating on what day, what month this all could happen.
因为圣经里告诉我们呢，我们不需要去知道到底是哪一年哪一天世界的末日会来临。
And in a message in Montreal not so long ago, I explained that the date cannot be predicted with absolute accuracy because of God's compassion. He doesn't want anyone to perish.
那么牧师说呢，在上一次在加拿大一个讲道里面，他也提到过，说这个世界末日呢，是我们没有办法去预测哪一天的。世界没有来临，是因为神的恩典，他希望世界上的人呢，都有机会能够得救。
And that is why that when Jonah went to Nineveh to predict that Nineveh was going to be destroyed, it didn't come to pass because the people all repented.
那么在这个圣经里面的旧约里面记载呢，先知这个约拿跑到这个尼尼微去向他们讲他们的末日要来临的时候呢，他们的末日最后没有来临，因为呢整个城市的人呢都悔改了。
But the likelihood of the whole world repenting in time to avert the judgment and above all the coming of the Lord is not all that likely.
但是呢，当我们想到如果是在末日来临的时候，全世界都像尼尼微一样悔改的话，恐怕不是那么乐观的吧。
And so when we consider, according to what I was able to see, and that is that in Israel, Israel is the marker for time and biblical time.
那么牧师说呢，在根据他的这个想法呢，说以色列呢是在这个圣经里面，以色列的时间呢是一个圣经里面用来标记时间的。
The year 40 is always a very significant 40 years. There always stretches of 40 years.
所以在对以色列来说呢，每40年这样一个时间呢是很重要的。
Also, that goes back even beyond Israel, like the reign for 40 days, 40 nights.
就在以色列以前，说这个下大雨的时候，诺亚的时候，也是40天40夜。
In fact, there isn't time to expound this very important comparison between Noah and the coming of the Lord, the flood and the coming of the Lord.
说我们今天呢没有时间呢来对比这个诺亚这个大洪水的事情和主耶稣再来的事情。
because the Lord Jesus said very clearly, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man comes.
因为主耶稣说呢，说人子再来的时候会是怎么样呢？跟诺亚当年大洪水来的时候是一样的情形。
At number 40 appears again. It's the 40 days and 40 nights of rain.
那么这个40天40夜下大雨的事情又出现了。
But with Israel, where do we count? How do we count those years?
那么对以色列来说呢，我们怎么样来算这些 年代呢？
Well, I pondered somewhat. I'm fairly familiar with Israel, having first of all studied there for a time, and then have been back many times.
那么牧师呢，在以色列从前学习过，而且呢，也去过以色列很多次，所以说对以色列呢，是很熟悉的。
In fact, when I first went to study in Jerusalem, I lived in a hospice directly facing the old city of Jerusalem.
那么他最早第一次去这个以色列的时候呢，是住在一个地方呢，这个地方正好是面对着以色列的这个旧城。
I think the Lord prepared that place. I could look straight at the walls of the old city in front of me, just across the valley.Of Hinnom, which from yeah, the valley of Hinnom.
那么他呢，从他的房间里面呢，越过一个峡谷呢，可以看到对面呢，就是以色列旧城的城墙。
That was before Jerusalem was taken back by Israel. It was still in Arab hands at the time.
那么那个时候呢，耶路撒冷呢还是在这个阿拉伯人的手里面，以色列还没有把它拿回去。
And there was a heavy machine gun on where the two walls met.The southern and the western walls of the city.
那么在这个东墙和西墙交界的地方呢，那个地方呢有一个，当时呢有这个重型的这个机关枪摆在那个地方。
And it pointed straight at my room.
那么这个机关枪呢正好是对着他的房间。
So I had the pleasure every morning to look out there and see the heavy machine gun pointing at me.
那么他每天早上一起来呢，就可以看到这个机关枪呢是对着他的。
Because the corner of the wall faced exactly where I was living. That's where the machine gun.
因为这个南墙和西墙的墙角呢正好是对着他的这个家里面。
And I pondered the situation, and I talked to the Jews, and I said, "Well, you have the land of Israel now, but you don't have Jerusalem."
那么他当时呢，跟这个以色列人说，说你们现在占有这个以色列的周围的土地，可是呢，你们没有这个耶路撒冷。
Jerusalem, they told me, is the head of the body. So.If Israel does not have Jerusalem, it's like a body without a head.
那么这个犹太人呢？跟别人说呢，说以色列呢，对以色列来说，耶路撒冷就好像人的头一样。如果没有耶路撒冷呢，好像一个没有头的人。
So that was in 1962.
那么那时候呢，是哪一年呢？是1962年的时候。
When I came back from Israel, I predicted that very soon Israel would take Jerusalem. Very, very soon.
那么他离开以色列之后呢，他就说呢，以色列人呢，很快就会去占领这个耶路撒冷。
1967, they took Jerusalem.
1967年，以色列呢占领了这个耶路撒冷。
Exactly as I expected, they would.
那么他正是像他当年所想象的。